All right. Hey, we're so glad to be together, and welcome to LifePoint Church. It is our second week in our brand new series we're calling Family Meeting. If you have your Bibles and notebooks, go ahead and get something out to take notes today. And before we get there, I want to say what's up to everybody who's joining us through our live stream, through our podcast, or who's a part of any of our video and streaming services. We are one church in a lot of different places, actually. You're going to hear more about that today, but we are so thankful through technology that we get to be one church in many places today. So everybody at our North Clarksville campus, at Austin Peay State University tonight, and those who are in our lobby campus today, and those who are watching on video at our Rossview campus, as well as in San Antonio, Tacoma, Washington, we love you. We're so glad. Isn't it great to be one church together? Come on, everybody, say welcome to our whole church family. All right, today we're in week two of our family meeting series. I got a couple texts last week from friends of mine who said in the church, they go, you know, I called a family meeting this week. It was great. Anybody have a family meeting since the last message? None of you. Great. Well, let me encourage you to maybe think about doing that. I want to bring a quick reminder as to why we're in this series, and then also a bit about what we talked about last Sunday in week one of our series. And I need to tell you something on the front end. Yesterday evening, I ended up rewriting this entire sermon. I was going to go a different direction. In your bulletin, you have a handout that says group life, and I just want you to mark that out because that's not the title of our sermon anymore. I rewrote the entire message last night, just feeling the Lord directing us a new way. How many of you know when you're fasting, you can excuse that kind of behavior, right, everybody? So blame it on the fast or the lack of calories or the Holy Spirit. And by the end of the message, I hope you'll be able to discern which. So I changed the whole message last night. I was scheduled to preach on groups, but I really believe God's taken us a different direction. In fact, this is not my normal rhythm of preaching. My style of preaching is more exegetical through a passage. But I'm your pastor, and give me some grace, and we're going to get through this together. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? So we titled the series Family Meeting, because I love what family meetings can produce for us. If you've never had one as a family, I would encourage you to take some time this week, turn off everything digital, and call a family meeting. Set some new boundaries. Talk about expectations, dreams, or hopes that you have as a family. Start planning your summer vacation or your winter retreat, and start talking about some correctable things that need to happen in your family, right? Share the wins and the successes. Ask your kids, what was your favorite part of Christmas? And then talk about, hey, what do we want to do next Christmas? Start planning ahead, and just call a family meeting. And what happens in these meetings is they become times of celebration and encouragement and correction, and also time for big announcements. And as your pastor, I know we've got so many things to celebrate. And if I haven't done a good enough job telling you what those things are, I promise you we've got so many great things to celebrate. And I'm going to share some of those with you today. You saw it on our recap video last Sunday, just some of the stats of our church. But I'll tell you this too, with a family meeting, it means we got to hear some realities about our church. Some of the pressure points, some of the pains that we have. And I'll tell you this too, I've got way more plans, dreams, ideas, and schemes, not scams, for our future as a church than you can imagine. I am praying and extending my fast, actually, because I'm praying for next steps. 2020, I believe, is going to be a banner year for LifePoint Church. I think we'll look back as a church and be like, wow, I did not see that coming. That was amazing. So however you're fasting and praying, please join me in praying for our church. I think this is going to be a significant year for us, and I can't really tell you why or how, because that's totally up to God. I just feel him stirring me for you to pray for you, because something great is going to happen this year. Maybe that we start a campus on the International Space Station. Finally, I've been praying and believing God for it. While I believe with all my heart that God's done so many amazing things, I still am committed to the fact that the best is always ahead of us. Our best years are ahead of us. The glory days for God's people are always ahead of us. One of the problems in the religious culture is we get stuck in the stories of our past without the dreams of our future. And so we start saying, well, back in my day, I remember when that pastor was there. You remember when we were small. You remember when we did this. Look, all those days are behind you. You can't relive any of them. You can't go back and replay them. So for the people of God, the glory days are always ahead. God takes from glory to glory to glory, not back in time. Unless you got a DeLorean in the parking lot, we're going ahead. So with all the excitement and all the great things that God has done in our church comes a lot of pressure points. Anybody ever dealt with pressure before? Anybody dealt with pressure in your job, pressure at home, pain in the neck? I've titled the message today, Who We Are, not group life, but who we are, because we got to understand who God's designed us and called us to be and shaping us to be. And with that comes some pressure points. I want to share some of the wins and some of our church family pressure points. Now, if you're here for the very first time, you're gonna see behind the curtain a little bit today. And I'm glad for that. We don't lead with secrets here. Anything you want to know, we'll tell you. But I want to share some of our wins and pressure points, especially because I want to ask you, listen, LifePoint, this is your church. We don't just celebrate the wins of what I did. It's what we did together, right? We gave to Houston. We're giving water filters to people, right? Especially because I want you to pray earnestly about the wins and the pressure points of our church. I want you to make adjustments to help bring some relief to some of those pressure points. Anybody ever been to a chiropractor? You know when you're under pain or under pressure, when they start snapping you and twisting you into thirds, it's to bring relief. And sometimes what seems daunting or nerve-wracking will actually bring greater relief if we'll just make the adjustments together. So that's what I want for us. And I really need our whole church to understand this. I don't want just our leadership to carry this and like in meetings throughout the church, start talking about these things and letting it leak. I need our whole church to hear about this, understanding our vision, what we do, our mission, what we're about and how we do that, our realities, our pressure points, and work together to bring solutions. So let me just give you a little bit of recap from last Sunday. If you weren't here, I preached out of Revelation chapter 3, Jesus writing to the church at Laodicea. And in that text, he says to them, I know everything you're doing, and I see that you're neither hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And he said, I would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm, because the lukewarm person, he says, I'm gonna spit or vomit or expel out of my mouth. Now we looked into that, and many of us have heard that text and interpreted it or heard it preached that Jesus is saying, I'd rather you be all in or all out. I want you to be with me or against me, for me or against me. And that's not what Jesus is saying. If you're white hot, you're useful for certain things, whether it's medicine or therapy or relaxation. If you're freezing cold, you're good for refreshing and drinking and relaxing. And what he's saying is, I want you useful one way or the other, but for the lukewarm person, there's no place for you here. There's no usefulness in lukewarmness. It's kind of like taking a warm bath or letting your bath cool down from hot. There's no fun in taking a lukewarm or cool bath, right? And so Jesus is saying, I want you hot for the kingdom, hot for healing and cleansing, or cold for refreshing and calming. But instead, our tendency is to allow casual or comfortable to creep in, and we get into this church rhythm, and it's just part of our calendar, and it's just something we do, and it's not who we are, and we settle into becoming lukewarm. And for the New Testament Christian, for Jesus and all of his disciples, there was no concept of half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity. It was, I'm willing to go to my death for this kind of Christianity. I asked you last week, I said, how many of you have a Christianity that would even cost you your life? And secondarily, how many of you have a Christianity that you're willing to lay down your life to stand up for? So as we progress through this series, I feel like, am I yelling? I'm not. I'm just talking emphatically, right? Okay, here we go. Stay with me, Austin P. As we progress through this series, let me just remind you of the great things we celebrate. In 2018, your church was named the fastest growing church in America. And that's because other churches like Hope City didn't report. But thank God for that, because your church was named the fastest growing in America. And last year, we saw hundreds, almost 1,000 people baptized and saved to follow Jesus Christ. Come on. Our kids ministry, our Kid Point ministry from newborn to fifth grade is bursting at the seams. Last week, we had 113 at our North Clarksville campus, 940 at this campus. We're over 1,000 kids a weekend in kids ministry right now. Come on, everybody. Our giving to missions was the best it's ever been last year, almost $700,000+, I think it is, $1 million. I don't know what it is. It's a lot, more than ever. At Christmas time, your church was able to buy a brand new van paying cash for YayPax, $100,000+ to our missions partners, just as Christmas gifts to tell them we love you and we're thinking about you. But with growth comes pressure. And with fast growth comes fast pressure. Can I just tell you something? What we celebrate externally, we struggle through internally sometimes. And it's tough to live with the pressure of fast growth. Let me give you an example. For many of you, your lives progress at normal paces. Your lives progress with normal advance in your career, in your finances, in your family. Like you start dating, then you get engaged, then you get married, then you have a kid, usually. One, some of you are overachievers, you're having twins. Usually have one kid at a time. You get a 3-5% raise a year, and your income just kind of grows steadily that way. You move from your newlywed apartment to your first house with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and a 2-car garage that only fits one in some boxes. You live there 5 to 10 years, then you move in after into your family home of 4 bedrooms with a bonus room, and you live there forever until your kids get out of the house. You just kind of progress naturally through things. And there's not a lot of real pressure points. There's moments of pressure, but that's not constant because there's a natural progression of this level of growth. It's true in job advancement, financial growth, family growth, personal development, maybe some of our waistlines. Like, we just grow naturally and with normal growth rates. Praise God for the fast. Now I want you to imagine you're a 24-year-old kid who got married, and maybe you're a widow and you got 2 little kids, and then you marry somebody with 6 kids because she got it going on. She's a little older and she has a family farm, and you go from your 1,000-square-foot apartment with 2 little babies to a 5,000-square-foot farmhouse with 6 bedrooms, a 4-car detached garage, and a 300-acre farm, and you, 24-year-old, are now doing all the crop work because her last husband who died did it, and if you're going to live with her, you're going to run the plow and you're going to do all the crop work. Talk about fast adjustment. That's going Brady Bunch style, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody loves that story. Here's a story of a lovely lady. Y'all remember this? I'm showing my age here. I watched it on Nick at Night. I didn't watch it in real time. What that show revealed is the pressure of a family dynamic growing that quickly. Some of you that are fostering and adopting, you know what I'm talking about. When your family goes from, you know, you're empty nesters, and all of a sudden you got 3 little kids in your house again. Pressure. Let me give you another example. Let's say you're in your year one of your career. You just got out of college as a marketing degree at Austin Peay. Come on, somebody. And you get a job on the entry-level marketing job at a company, and then your boss dies. The CEO of the company dies. And in his will, he leaves you to take over the whole international company because the first time he saw you, you reminded him of a younger version of himself. And so now you've taken over a multinational marketing firm with offices in Japan, in LA, in Chicago, London, Dubai, and Clarksville. Of course. Of course. And that level of growth and advancement would create pressure. They might write about you in magazines and be like, fastest growing CEO ever in the country in the history of this company. But you will not sleep well at night. You will bloat with anxiety for the pressure that you weren't actually prepared to endure. And that's what's happening to our church. So with everything we celebrate, I have to be the one to tell you. And this is one of those things that only I can say. What we don't want to do is trash talk and make up stuff in the lobby, right? You want to hear it from me. So let me share with you some of those fast growth pressure points. And as a church, we are so incredibly grateful for what God has done to grow his church here. Can I say amen to that myself? I wouldn't trade anything about the story of this church at all that God has done here. It's been an amazing, exciting, fast, up and to the right in every category. I will have 10 years as pastor here this summer. And in 10 years, we've gone from around 85 people on a weekend to almost 6,000 last Sunday. Meeting and watching in 8 services in Clarksville, including 200 in our lobby last Sunday. Come on, that's our lobby campus. It's the newest campus we launched. We have 2 more streaming locations in San Antonio and Tacoma, Washington. And my buddy Tom keeps watching us in Kansas. We're going to plant a campus in Kansas with you, Pastor Tom. Come on now. Many more hundreds who join us every week online. We've already been through 2 major building programs on this campus, and I've already got drawings and plans to build again on this property. I just need your $15 million. Come on, help a brother out. Absolutely amazing, absolutely fast, absolutely fun, absolutely a recipe for pressure. So I want to remind you of our vision. I want to bring you back to center on our mission and our vision and the strategy that we have to employ if we're gonna relieve some of this pressure. Anybody got an Instant Pot? Come on, ladies, I know y'all got one or wanted one at Christmas and your man didn't come through. Fellas, come on, Valentine's is coming up. Get her an Instant Pot. That thing is amazing. My favorite part of the pot, because I'm a boy, is that pressure release valve. And I put my hand right over it, and Stephanie's like, don't put your hand over the valve. She doesn't say it like that, that's how I heard it. But you know, it builds all this pressure, and then you just switch it and it goes, psst. Y'all remember pressure cookers back in the day? We need some relief. And that relief doesn't mean you leave. It's gonna mean you change. And that's what I'm asking for today, because we are all about changed lives, right? So let me give us as a guiding verse on this message, Acts chapter 2. It's a favorite verse of mine when it comes to how do we be a Christian church? How do we model ourselves after the scripture? And there's a whole bunch of behaviors in this passage, but there's one word that I really want you to key in on. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. Now they, talking about all these new Christians, Peter's just preached the first sermon of the new church, and thousands came to Jesus. You talk about pressure. Peter's dealing with incredibly fast growth pressure. By the way, can you imagine on your first sermon, seeing thousands come to Jesus? He was untrained, he hadn't gone to seminary, he didn't know the first thing about preaching. That's why his sermon was so short. And thousands came to Jesus. And then later in that chapter, by the end of the chapter, it says, they, referring to all these new Christians, devoted themselves. Everybody say devoted. I need you to underline, circle, highlight, rewrite, whatever you can, that word. Because this is the attitude of Christians who understand fast growth, fast pressure, and how to alleviate some of that. Devotion, commitment, consecration. Man, we are all in on this thing. They devoted themselves to certain behaviors. Here they are, apostles' teaching, which is scripture. That's all they could teach from is the Bible. And then what they did teach became the scripture. And so now we have given to us the scripture. So now they devoted themselves to the Bible. How many of you know we are a church that elevates the Bible here at LifePoint Church, right? We say the Bible is true. You can have a copy. We love you to read your Bible and do what it says. Come on. So they devoted themselves to scripture. They devoted themselves to fellowship. That means hanging out, spending time, not just with Sundays, but like fellowshipping together, rejoicing together, celebrating, going to lunch together, having life with other Christians together. They devoted themselves to Christian relationship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. How many of you know this is Southern church right here? They love to eat. In fact, breaking bread comes up multiple times in this passage. Praise God for this church. They were devoted to scripture. They were devoted to Christian community. They were devoted to sharing meals together. And one translation calls this the Lord's Supper. Others suggest these are just meals in general. And I would encourage you, even in your spending time together, have communion together. Break bread, have some grape juice or wine, whatever. Let's do communion together. The breaking of bread, and they devoted themselves to prayer. Man, we want more and more a culture of prayer in our church. Thank you to Pastor Mark Delaney and our campus pastors as they lead us in moments of prayer here. And look what happened as a result. Awe came upon every soul. I mean, can you imagine being the kind of church that's so devoted to godly things that others around our city are like, wow, that's amazing. I can't understand. That is awesome. It says awe came upon every soul. That's the result. You can't fabricate that. You can't manufacture that. It's only a result of our devotion that others fall in love with our God. Amen. So awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. People will say, you know, we need more miracles and signs and wonders. And I go, well, first we need more devotion to the things of God if we want to see the hand of God flowing in our church more often. I'm serious. I just believe this is somewhat recipe for how to have more of what God wants to happen in our church. We can't come to God with lukewarm Christianity like Jesus said in Revelation 3 and then demand God for signs and wonders and then hold him accountable when he doesn't answer our prayer in Jesus' name. He's not a genie in a bottle, baby. He wants us living with such devotion that this would be normal. Of course people get healed at our church. Of course people get miracles in our church. Of course marriages are restored in our church. That's just normal for us. It shouldn't be a YouTube video. It should be an all-the-time reality. Signs and wonders should be happening at LifePoint. But first, we have to devote ourselves to the right things. Well, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. That's all right. I hadn't eaten in 11 days. How about you? I'm just hangry, man. I'm mad. Let's go. And every one of them who believed were together. Man, that is not the American way. We're so isolated and fractured and divided, and we do our things and we go, we sit. Some of us come into our rooms and we want to sit somewhere where nobody will bother us. That's just not the way of the body of Christ. You don't get to tell your arm to go be in the other room while the rest of your body goes in this room. We get to stay together and do life together. They were together. They had everything in common, not just sports fans. You know, like we're all Saints fans because, you know, Saints. Go marching in. Come on, somebody. They didn't have, like, favorites in common. It means they shared everything. Hey, what's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. What you need, I got you. What I need, you got me covered. Hey, I gotta build a shelf in my patio. My husband's deployed, I need some help with my house. No problem, we got all things in common. You need my tools? No problem, it's no big deal. Because we do life together. That was what happened there. And it was their devotion as a church. They were selling their stuff and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had need. You know, one of the strains of a pastor is to beg you to give clean drinking water, to beg you to be generous towards the needs of other people. That was not the issue for these folks. They were devoted. Man, I don't need those extra things. I don't need that stuff. That bank account ain't even mine, it's God's. I can't take it with me. I came in this world naked. I'm gonna leave this world in hopefully a suit, but maybe naked, depending. Everything I have is on loan from the Lord. I'm just a steward. God, I am your currency. Spend me at your pleasure. That's the attitude and the devotion of the Christians of the New Testament. Can I tell you? Awe came upon an entire city. Signs and wonders were being done. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church I want us to be. That's the kind of church I'm dreaming about. That's the kind of church I'm praying and fasting for. Now, let me remind you of a couple things. Oh yeah, the last part of the verse. Day by day, that means, say with me, every day. There you go. Some of y'all didn't know that word existed. Every day, attending the temple together. What? What? They went to church every day? Not twice a month when the Titans weren't playing in town? What? They went to church every day. And they breaking bread, here they go eating again, in their homes. That's big groups and small groups. These were their devotions, church. How do we want the hand of God, the awe of every person in Clarksville and Middle Tennessee and beyond? How do we want all those things to happen without the devotions that actually produce that stuff? It's not about you moving God, it's about God moving us towards what we used to be devoted to, and people going, I can't handle my life without what they have. So day by day, they met together in the temple together and then breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. And the Lord, man, this verse keeps going. Praising God and having favor with everybody. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be a church where people are glad when you come into their business from LifePoint. Where people are glad you come to their doctor's office or to their bank, or they know, hey, them LifePoint people, those are some good people. And by the way, you have that reputation in town for the most part. There's six of you. I got a meeting with you scheduled up coming up. The Lord added to their number every day people being saved. Can I tell you the greatest revival in our city starts with our devotions to the God of our city. The greatest revival of our city will start with our devotion to the God of this city. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of church I want us to be. Amen? Amen. So we have this mission statement, and it's what we do. Every one of you that are military, you know the mission is it's the orders, it's the what. What are we going to do? We're going to go into this village. We're going to take this place. We're going to overcome it. We're going to extract this thing, and we're going to move out. That's the mission. It's what we're going to do. And then the vision or the strategy becomes the how we do it. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But our mission is really clear. It's given to us by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. We've reworked the language, but basically our mission as a church, the what we do is about leading people to be fully devoted to Jesus Christ. That's the thing we do. We're not here to build a brand, a denominational brand, a legacy for my name. We ain't about none of those things. We're about lost people coming to Jesus, saved people getting closer to Jesus, found people getting more devoted to Jesus. And listen, whether you are a non-believer, we have room for you. If you're a new believer, we got room for you. If you're a seasoned believer, we have room to grow in our devotion until we take our last breath. We've got room to grow in our devotion. And so our role, our job, our mission as a church is to lead human beings. We're not here to lead programs. We're not here to lead ministries. We're here to lead people to be more devoted to Jesus Christ. We're not here to lead buildings. These things will fall apart and come down one day. I've already torn one building down here. I'll do it again. I don't care. Because we're here to lead people to be fully devoted, and it will take you until you stop breathing to have more room to grow in your life with Christ. Don't ever get to the place where you're like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of good. Me and Jesus, we're good. Every time I check in, he's checking in with me, and we're kind of, you know, we got an agreement. That don't make any sense. We have room to grow in our devotion to Jesus. So every sermon, every worship set, every small group curriculum that we purchase, every event that we do, we got our marriage conference coming up this next month, and it's all about leading couples in their devotion, single people in their devotion, divorcees in their devotion. It doesn't matter how you get to the marriage conference. The reason we do that is to connect you closer to Jesus and then connect you to groups, which is part of our strategy we'll talk about in just a moment. Everything we do here is about this one thing. If you're a non-believer, new believer, seasoned believer, you've got room to grow in your devotion to Jesus. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
It's clear direction for us as a church. This is where we spend our energy, our resource, our talents, our skills, our time, our money, so that lost people can come to Jesus, so that found people can grow with Jesus, so that saved people can get connected to others and serve others for Jesus. We'll always be a church where unchurched people are welcome. We did not build a church for Christians to huddle up. We don't believe the church exists for us. We believe we are the church, and we exist to reach the world. The front door of the church in America is always Sunday morning. So we will always give up our seats to make room for those who are coming. We'll always sacrifice our own comforts, our own schedule, our own desires to make sure that those who are coming have a place here too. We are the church. We exist to reach those far from God. Anyone is welcome at LifePoint. I don't care how you live in, who you're dating, what your past is, what your baggage you're bringing with you. Anybody's welcome to come and have Jesus wreck your life. We don't need Jesus' people wrecking your lives. We need Jesus wrecking your life. Come on, somebody. I had somebody critique me once about that statement. You know, we say, anybody's welcome here to have their lives wrecked by Jesus. And so somebody messaged me. They're like, you know, Jesus fixes your life and he heals your life. I'm like, you don't sit around me long enough to know what I meant. He wants to turn your life upside down and make it better for the glory of God. Come on now. We love people. We give second, third, fourth, fifth, 88th chances around here. And we believe God changes lives. So that's our mission. That's what we do. And hey, LifePoint, I appreciate that you're a part of this. This is not just the staff's mission. This is you. This is your church. So this is what you're a part of. So then the vision is how we do what we do. It's the steps, it's the process of leading people to be devoted to Jesus. And we have it in a four-step process. We shared this and we share it with so many churches around the country because it's straight out of the Bible in the book of Exodus and later throughout the New Testament in Matthew's gospel and Colossians. We have these four things that God wants for you. And we believe it's God's plan and design for everybody in the world because God desires that all people are saved to the glory of God. First thing we want you to do is know God. Before we get you in a group, before we teach you how to give, before we show you how to serve other people, we want you to know God. And we believe the fastest way for that to happen is you to start regularly attending on Sundays. That means our Sunday experience always has an intention of inviting people to commit to go in with Jesus. Go all in with Christ. Surrender your life to him as Lord of your life. Sunday isn't just for the Christian. It's for the person who's never been. It's for the person who's afraid of coming. It's for the person who's coming in with a girlfriend and they're so afraid of being judged for what they're wearing or who they're stepping with. It's for the person who's anxious about ever stepping foot inside a church building. I have a friend at my gym who says, if I come in that church, I'm telling you, the roof's gonna collapse. I said, you're the reason we built that church. We double sealed the roof. It ain't coming down on you. We are welcoming, we're warm, we're nice. We give away stuff because we're generous. We welcome people here. We serve them from the parking lot all the way to the pulpit. We are a church because we want people to come and get close to Jesus and know God. Please don't ever be offended by people that you don't like, that don't look like you, date like you, act like you, or have the same background as you, because everybody's welcome here to know God. Everybody. Some people's issues are more on display than yours, but I promise you, you got them too. And God's made room for you to come here, so let's make room for them to come here. Can I tell you, as the pastor, I'm the chief among sinners in this church, and God keeps putting me back up here every weekend.
Amen.
We will always give everyone the opportunity to pray and surrender and go all in with Jesus. I've had many people ask me over the years, why do you always lead the whole church in a salvation prayer? Because I need it every week, frankly. God, I'm all in. I believe in Jesus. He died for my sins so I can live for him. And that is strategic also to help make sure everybody has an opportunity to go all in with Jesus. We elevate his word. We worship the living God corporately. We gather as a family. We do it with excellence and excitement so people can know God. Amen. Second part of our strategy is we want to help you find freedom. And we want to see that by you belonging to a life group. Now, I'm going to get heavy on you for just a moment. This is hands down the best thing we do as a church. I would rather not have 6,000 people on a Sunday. I'd rather have 7,000 people in small groups. I think Sundays are the biggest thing we do, but small groups are the best thing we do. My whole sermon was supposed to be about groups today, but I've rewritten the whole thing because we need to all know the vision. We need to all know the pressure points. But let me tell you something. The greatest pressure point of our church, hear me when I say this, the greatest pressure point of our church is that people come on Sunday in a huge crowd, but well over half of our people won't connect to others in smaller group settings. We've gotten so comfortable in the big room that we won't do life in someone's living room. And I'm telling you, it's to your detriment that you won't engage your life in the life of other believers. It's one of the greatest pressure points of our church because you're not growing as a disciple. You're growing as a consumer and you're growing bigger and you're getting fatter in the things of God and the word and the worship and the Sunday know God part, but you're not leaning out and giving that out to anybody. Listen, you're the average of the five people you're closest to. And if you like who you are, invest in them more. If you're not happy with your life, find a new crew and we wanna help you with that, with small groups. We wanna lead you this way. And as your pastor, the biggest thing we do may be Sundays, but the best thing you can do is connect for fellowship. Remember their devotion? In Acts 2, they devoted themselves to scripture, to fellowship, to eating. Man, I love life groups. There's almost always food. Discipleship, Bible discussions, prayer, accountability, Christ-centered friendship. Some of you have no Christian friends. That is not God's will for your life. Paul says, don't lie to yourself. You will be corrupted by your company. You need pastoral care, and I'm not the one to give it to you. We have pastors all over this church called small group leaders who are designed and trained to give you the care that you need. It's part of being hot or cold, useful and faithful to the kingdom of God. Listen, if you are not in relationship with other believers, working out your salvation with others, growing in Christ-centered fellowship, you are in danger of becoming a lukewarm Christian. Thank you, two people. It's the truth. And it's a pressure point for us that we literally cannot get more people into our Rossview campus on a Sunday, but we got living rooms all over this city waiting on people to grow in groups and learn to serve and give their time away and give their seat up. You're just not being discipled and trained in that because you won't trust the system that we have to help you find freedom and grow in relationships through groups. I'm telling you, it's the truth. In fact, every week I have people come up to me in the lobby. And I'm always out in the lobby after every service. I'm your pastor. I'm out there. You want to talk to me, hug me, shake my hand, whatever you want. Let's talk. Every week I have people say, hey, can I get a meeting? Can I get on your schedule? Can I get some help from you? I need some counseling. I need some advice. And I always ask this question. Who's your life group leader? Without fail, the people who are the most unsettled, who are struggling the most, who are often fearful, unsure, undisciplined, and not connected are the ones who are not in groups. And then they come to me and they go, well, it's a 4-week wait to get on my schedule or 2.5 weeks to get on my calendar. And then they get frustrated and they roll out of here because they say, I can't get a meeting with the pastor. Well, there's 6,000 people and we got 500 small group leaders who would love for you to be in their life and would love to give you care and love to pastor you through whatever you're going through. It's the ministry of the body of Christ. Moses went through this same pressure point, and his father-in-law said, you've got to stop doing that and build leaders and hand it off to others. Right, and our group system is designed to be a comfort to you and to care for you and to help you find freedom through everything you're going for. You don't need a meeting with me. You need a meeting with the body. I'm glad to meet with you. It's just going to take a while. It's not because I don't love you. It's that I love every one of you, and I'm like terrible at managing my calendar. That's why I have an assistant who always says no. But your groups become the place where you get to work through hard texts of the Bible and work through issues, and your life group throws you baby showers, retirement parties. They're the ones that walk with you through grief. We've had people come up to me, and they'll go, Pastor, nobody called me when my mom died. And I go, well, whose group are you in? I'm not in anybody's small group. I go, well, how in the world do you want us to know that? They walk you through grief. They come to your hospital visit. Look, we're not a small church. You got to grow in this thing. As we get large, we need to stay small, and the avenue of that is small groups. Come on, somebody. We got groups for men, women, married couples, financial peace, help you get out of debt, prayer groups, serving groups, divorce care, freedom groups, reboot, which is for soldiers and families coming out of deployment and military life, students, kids are built on small groups. It's in our groups we've had people healed, literally physically healed, miraculously healed, happened in our groups, filled with the Holy Spirit, found friendships, met a wife. They're getting that group on a swivel. We had one couple come, and they started coming to our church on the back end of a divorce, and they said, we need some help. We don't think God's done with us yet. So we put them in a small group called Divorce Care, and Pastor Randy remarried them as a result of that life group. God's healing people in our groups. People have said, Pastor, you need to have altar calls. You need to open up these altars and let people fall out. And do it. No, we do that in groups, man. Fall out in a living room. Ha-ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this sermon. It's in our groups where the best part of your life will happen in this church. Some of us have grown so just full from Sundays. Man, we feel like we're growing and knowing God. We're not releasing that by serving and blessing others in relationships. Man, if our church would connect in groups, LifePoint will be the most well-pastored church you've ever been a part of. You'll grow in scripture, you'll grow in prayer and freedom from controlling issues. You'll have more fulfilling friendships and relationships. You'll find a new circle to do life with. And for many of you, you'll start leading others in their devotion to Jesus. Just purely statistically, we should have 500 life groups rolling out of our church. Based on the numbers, groups of 10, 8 to 10. And look, wherever you're at, start a group. Like if you have, I was talking to a friend of mine this week. He's a coach on the coaching staff at Austin Peay. He's like, I don't know what group to start. I said, don't y'all meet all the time? He goes, oh yeah, we have meetings every day. I said, why don't one time during the week, half their coaching staff comes to LifePoint? I go, why don't you guys just meet 15 minutes before a meeting and go, hey, we're going to pray, and we're going to talk about one thing from the sermon that we liked, and then we'll have our coaches meeting. Just make a group. I don't care. It doesn't have to be that like perfect. You know what I'm saying? Just start meeting together in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody. Then we want to help you discover your purpose, right? We got this third part of our vision to help you discover your purpose, which is part of God's design for you. You've got a baggage, you've got a story, you've got history, and we want you to discover your purpose, and we've designed a whole curriculum for that called our Growth Track. It's two sessions. It meets every Sunday during our services at every location or after our service at Austin Peay. And we believe that every one of you has a gift that's unique and special to share with others. God may have wired you to sing or to hum. Come on, some of you need to know the difference. What part of the worship team can I be on? Well, we need a hummer. Back here, just turn the mic down. You just sway and stand. I need a shout me down. I need a whole like hoop corner. I need a dream team for hoopers. What team you on? I'm on a hoop. Hey, yeah, amen. Preach that, preach it. God may have wired you to greet, to disciple kids, to love on babies, to run some piece of tech equipment, to open a door, to park a car, or to preach. Whatever it is, we want to help you discover that. It's the expressed intention of our growth track. To help introduce you to your talents, skills, and gifts so you can serve God by serving others. Amen. Growth Track is the next step for every one of you. In fact, we're talking about changing the name of Growth Track to Next Steps because it makes the most sense for us. And this is a huge pressure point of our church. Can I tell you, when I start losing sleep, honestly, and we as a team start stressing out, it's because not enough of us have completed the Growth Track onto a team, or we've started it, not finished it, or we did it as like a rite of passage without the following step, which we'll get to in a moment. But our Growth Track is a huge pressure point for us. So many of us are content to sit and watch instead of get in the game. I'm gonna let that hang with you for just a moment. So many of us are content to sit and watch instead of get in the game. Growth Track is the entry point for church membership, for serving in any capacity. This is where you start to belong to this big place. This is the class designed to show you how God's wired you and how you're built for his kingdom. And look, it's for everyone. No one gets a pass. You can't get on a team here. You don't sing on a stage. You don't run a camera. You don't rock a baby without going through Growth Track. When Kanye West starts coming to church here one day and he wants to sing on the worship team, he's got to go through Growth Track. Call those things that are not as though they are. I've been praying for that dude for a decade. Come on. It's really about you discovering your God design. That's what it's for. It's for you to discover God's wired me a certain way and showing you that God can and wants to use you for his purpose. How cool would it be for you to know that part of the next chapter of your life was handwritten by God's design on your life? And that's what Growth Track is really about. Finally, we want to help you make a difference by serving others on dream teams. And listen, this is the other part of our pressure. Now I'm about to step all over all your toes, and then we're out of time, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to go in the lobby, and I'm going to greet all of you and hug your babies, and then we're going to be fine. But here's the deal. I love you enough to tell you, with all the things we celebrate, the backside of those pressure points. Say, I can take it. All the rest of you, say, I can take it. Last Sunday, we shared in a video the statistics you know, almost 6,000 in attendance last Sunday, 57, 48 or something like that. And with all the pregnancies around here, there's another 50 or so, I'm sure, in utero. We're waiting on them to come out, but they count. They're here. We shared the stat last week that 1,315 people serve on our dream team. And we go, woohoo, that's so amazing. Nope. I'm excited about that, but could you imagine having a family of six and only one person does everything? Makes all the beds, does all the laundry, does all the cooking, brushes all the teeth, wipes all the butts all the time, even for grown-ups. I mean, how crazy is that? We have 1,315 people serving last year, but we have 5,000 capable middle schoolers all the way through adults in our church. That means 3,700 people from sixth grade and up are letting others serve them and choosing not to serve others. Remember the book of Acts, chapter 2? They were devoted to others. Devoted to scripture, fellowship, breaking bread, having all things in common, they did for each other and they gave to one another. All of them had this devotion. There was no such thing as consumer Christianity in the New Testament. No such thing. Regularly caring for and serving for and providing for each other was part of their devotion. It wasn't 20%. That's our stat. We're at like 26% of our church serving out of 100%. That is the world standards. That's not God's standards. Listen to me. This may be one of our greatest pressure points, and I'm going to say it because I love you. I'm your pastor, and this is family meeting time. Come on, somebody. Put your phones away and listen up. We are mostly a church of takers and receivers instead of givers and servants. And it is my, I can't believe I just said that. Man, whatever. And it's my job to help disciple you, to train you, to teach you, to show you that God has a better way. That's the American way, not the kingdom way. That may be the Pareto principle, but it ain't Pastor Peter's principle. Pareto principle says 20% of effort comes from 80%, provides for 80% of your results. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As each one of you has received a gift. Not some of you, 20% of you, the good looking ones or the ones who went to Bible college. Every one of you has a gift for the body. And he said, as each one of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And yet we sit and we let others open our doors. We let others pay for this place. We let others do all the ministry for us. And we know God. And we go, man, I love my church. I love my pastor. It's a great Sunday. You should come. And we invite our friends to this experience on the front end. But listen, knowing God Sundays is one of four parts. And part of what makes this place so amazing, people go, this church is so friendly. They give you cookies. They open doors. They're just so good. That's because 20% of our people are yielding 80% of our results. All of our growth is happening according to the world's system. But that's not God's way. And that creates pressure. Every weekend we have on our staff communication, I need help in Kid Point. I need help in the lobby. I need help over here. We constantly live under the pressure of our church isn't giving at our full potential. We're not serving at our full potential. And you know what that means? We don't open campuses at the right pace. We're not serving people. We're not reaching the poor and the widow and the orphan. We're not going into nursing homes and serving those who have greater needs because we're just not going at the pace God's designed for us. Amen. I love that we have big Sundays, but frankly, it's created a lot of stress for us. And we have to move our church forward in the vision of this church, or else we'll never accomplish that mission to lead as many people as we can to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. Are y'all hearing me right now? Yeah. Every one of you has a gift. And listen, every one of you is a gift. With a church our size, there should never be a lack of gifts available to our city, our county, our community. We should never, our mayors should be able to call anytime and go, Pastor, we had a disaster strike. We got needs over here. We got hungry folks over here. We got freezing people in the middle of the night. A church our size, and then the church around this city, we are the greatest force for good ever to exist on the planet, and yet 80% of us sit on our hands and do nothing and contribute little to nothing. We're takers and consumers instead of givers and servers. Man, I cannot believe I'm preaching it like this, but you need to hear it. We don't have enough dream teams for 5,000 people to serve on, but our city has enough things for us to do. You're incredibly gifted. You're talented. You're so ready to meet the needs of our city. I'm telling you, one of our greatest pressure points is being a church that's underserved by the very people who are receiving service. I love you. I love you so much. You don't even know. I had somebody ask me, like, what do you do during the week? You got another job? Yes, I sell shoes at Penny's all week long. I only think about this Sunday morning. Saturday night, usually about midnight, is when you get on my mind. I've got Jesus, my wife and four daughters, and you. You are the things I obsess about all the time. I think about you. I pray about you. I fast for you. I love you so much. But it's not even about reporting better numbers. It's about you walking in the full picture of what God has designed for your life. I don't get anything out of you finally stepping into God's place for your life. It's for you. I don't want this from you. I want this for you. I obsess about you. I constantly dream about what it's going to be like one day when we get together on this thing. I wake up thinking about my wife who's next to me, my girls who are around me, and I think about you all the time. Ask my wife what I talk about. Ask her. We can't go on a date without talking about you guys. We can't ever turn it off. When I see you in public, I meet you at Starbucks or a basketball game, I feel like I'm talking to family. I love you so deeply. I'm preaching this out of a love for you, out of a prayer life for you. I think about you constantly. I'm so committed to serving you as long as God keeps me here. And as your pastor, as a team of staff members around here, we will always work hard to lead you by serving you and prodding you and encouraging you and equipping you to be all that God's called you to be. But I want to challenge you today to consider your devotions. If somebody were writing Acts chapter 2 about Life Point, what would they say our devotions are? And if self is anywhere in there, man, I don't want that to make the Bible. They were devoted to themselves. They were devoted to their comforts. Well, man, that preacher preaches hard. I don't know that I like that. Man, are we devoted to Christian community and to the church like we saw in Acts 2, devoted to scripture, each other, gathering meals, prayer, serving? Is that our devotion here? Should it be our devotion? Am I just pipe dreaming it? Is this idealism? Should it be our devotion? Would you rather have like just Christian kind of country club life and or do you want to be a church on mission to reach people far from God and grow in our devotion to Jesus and be all that God's called us to be? So the last thing, and I'll close, I'm going to say this to you quickly because we're over time, and it's your fault. Because I'm just telling you, I love you so much. Our strategy, and I need you to embrace this. Can I tell you a personal pressure point? I love preaching. It's my favorite thing I get to do as a job. I like meeting with people across a coffee table, and I love preaching from this pulpit. And I think if my body would let me, I would preach all 11 services every weekend. The problem is, it ain't gonna let me. And I'm so flattered when people call and they go, what service is he live? When's he video? I'm flattered because I'm a narcissist. But for the sake of the mission of God, I've gotta extend the reach of this pulpit by not being in it every time. By having other speakers on our team come in and speak. And also, we have to use modern strategy to share this ancient message. And as we move forward as a church, we will unapologetically, absolutely embrace a multi-campus video model. We've all gotten used to seeing our pastor live, and especially at our Rossview campus. I'm so grateful for our other locations who have embraced video pastor. Let me be your pastor by video. I'm your digital pastor. I love you. Thank you so much for letting me be your digital pastor. You don't even know what it means, but that's because we have incredible campus pastors who love you and group members who care for you. That's your best pastor, your small group leader. But we have to embrace a multi-campus video model, and we got to get used to seeing our preacher on a screen. Most of you in the Rossview campus look at screens anyway. Right now, today, we will have 11 unique services or campus expressions. Think about this. We'll have 4 at Rossview, 2 at North Clarksville, 1 at Austin Peay tonight, 1 in San Antonio, 1 in Tacoma, and a video service in the lobby at Rossview with 200 people, and then 500 to 700 unique individuals that watch our entire stream online as our online campus. That's a whole other church, 500 to 700 people. That's amazing. That's 11 unique services. There's no way that Pastor Mike can preach all those in one day. It's not physically possible to be a live preacher at all locations, so we must embrace a modern strategy. Everybody needs to embrace it. Please embrace it. Quit fighting this. Quit fighting it in your own self. Well, I got to see my preacher live. No, you don't. You don't demand that of any other public speaker. Trump does a national address. Nobody's like, well, if I'm not in the White House, I'm not listening. We have to embrace this. because we want to see multiple venues launching. I'm praying right now that God would give us buildings of dying churches and boxes and storefronts so we continue to reach more people. I'm praying for millions of dollars so we can build more buildings or buy existing buildings so we can reach more people. Here's the way we say it. We are one church with one message currently through 11 services to reach our city and beyond. That's our strategy. We got to embrace that. That means if you show up on a Sunday at any location and the preacher is live or video, we embrace it because we're one church with one message, same message from the central pulpit, and we're in multiple locations. Man, I can't wait till we're 20 locations. I can't wait to put life into dying churches here in our city and around in Hopkinsville and Ashland City and Pleasant View. I'm telling you, when churches start going up for sale, I want us to be the first to go. We'll put people there. I got 500 people to go. And we're going to embrace this strategy and embrace this model of being one church in many places. Listen, that being said, last thing I'll say, I promise for real, said every preacher. I need 500 people that attend our Ross View campus to leave this campus starting next week if you can and go to our North Clarksville campus and help. Man, it would be the greatest shot in the arm for them to go from 400 to 900 overnight. And we'll have room in our Rossview campus again to let people come and sit in the room. I need 500 people to leave our Rossview campus. Pray about it. You go, hey, I'm not really connected there anyway. It's pretty big. I've kind of put up with it. Look, I promise you the same sermon will come to you that came from here. I need 500 people to leave this campus at Rossview and go to North Clarksville at West Creek Middle School. And then I want 300 people to leave our Rossview campus and go help us launch this Austin Peay correctly at Austin Peay at 6 p.m. They're doing a great job, but that is one of the most untapped, greatest places of revival that our city has yet to see. And I believe for 10, 15,000 college students, LifePoint Church has been assigned and called by God to go into that location and to see revival hit that college campus. And we need your help. So I promise you, when you go to Austin Peay and you serve at 6 p.m., you get to sleep in on Sundays. Are you kidding me? Daylight savings time will never bother you again. You get to serve college students. That's like the lifeblood of our nation right now. I need 300 of you to leave our campus and go there. And you know what that'll do is it'll free up more seats here for people to get into the vision, into the heart of our church, and be one church with one message in 11, then 12, then 15, 20, as many as God would let us have. I'm coming for you, Tom, in Kansas. We're gonna launch with you, bro. Man, God's good, isn't he? Y'all doing okay? You received from this message today? I wanna pray for you, and our campus pastors are coming. I went long, so we're gonna wrap up quick and get out of here. Please, get out. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We're thankful for this family meeting series. We're thankful for the word of God is alive and active. And God, we thank you for the vision of this house. Lord, we embrace it. Everybody open your hands to the Lord. Come on, watching anywhere before our campus pastor comes. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for me so I can live for him. I give you my whole life. For the rest of my life, I'll serve you, your mission, your kingdom. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Amen. Amen. I love you, LifePoint.